Let us then turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to start reading at the first verse of the chapter because the rest of the chapter is really a reflection on how then do we present our bodies living sacrifices? How are we transformed by the renewing of our mind? I'm sorry, that was my fault. I sent in the text, not the scripture reading. So Romans chapter 12, beginning reading at verse 1 and reading through verse 8. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. As I said, this text, verses 3 through 8, is based on the first two verses. How do we present ourselves, our bodies, living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God as our reasonable service? How are we transformed by the renewing of our mind? And so as we look at this passage, we see some ways in which we are to be different than the world. How we are to live as those who are saved by Jesus Christ. As we look at these verses, we are to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but according to the measure that God has given. Notice that we are not to totally throw ourselves out the window, but that we are to look at how God has gifted us and serve Him, not to lift ourselves up too highly. And then we are to use the abilities God has given to us in the service of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of one body, of Christ's body. And so we use our gifts for the body of Christ. So the theme that we look at as we look at this passage of God's word is God's gift. People are given various gifts for the building up of his body, the church. God's people are given various gifts for the building up of his body, the church. In verse 3, we look at the fact that we are to think of ourselves in humility. In verses 4 and 5, we are individual members of one body, of Christ's body. And then verses 6 through 8, we are to use our gifts for the body. We are given various gifts, and we are to use them for the building up of Christ's body, of the church. First of all, we are to think of ourselves in humility. That God has given us gifts in grace, through the grace given to me, Paul says, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Paul exhibits humility here, as we ought to in our Christian lives. Paul is a very humble person. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. And yet, he says, I don't utilize the rights that God has given to me as an apostle, as he writes in 2 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, Paul says about himself, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So notice, as an example for us of how we are to measure ourselves, the grace God gives me. Not look how important I am because God has given me that grace, but look at what the grace of God has done through this miserable sinner. And that grace is given to him is also for all believers. Notice what Paul does with it. I labored more abundantly than they all. If God gives us abundant grace, we don't then say, well, great, I get to sit back. But then we have work to do. We have something to do with that grace. What do we have that we did not receive? Again, 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who makes you differ from one another? Or what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if indeed you did receive it, why do you boast as though you had not received it? We live in a culture that this is so absolutely antithetical to, anti-cultural. Well, it's my abilities, whatever it happens to be. No, it is the gift that God has given to me. And those gifts of God are for the purpose of serving and of helping one another as the church. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And those gifts are given in grace, in the undeserved favor of God. It's not because I was so important that I got this gift or that gift. But the gifts that God gives to each one of us are for the service of God through the service of His church. And we're going to look at those gifts as we get through this passage. And we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We must recognize how sinful that is. What did we what do we have that we haven't received? We just read that. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. We have got to be careful that we be of the same mind toward one another. That we are here to serve one another in the service of Christ. We don't set our mind on high things. That we look down on everybody else and how stupid they are. Or how they don't work and do what I do. Because maybe that's not the gift they have. But instead, that we labor together as good stewards of the manifold, the rich grace of God. That we associate with the humble, not wise in our own opinion. We have to realize our unworthiness in the sight of God. That we are not righteous and better than others around us. Romans 11 verse 20, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. You stand by faith. Do not be haughty, don't be proud, but fear. And therefore that we have nothing to bring to God, but that He in His mercy saves sinners who believe in Him. And that then He gives gifts to men. And that we are to use them for the service of Christ, for the service of His church. Isaiah 64 verse 6, I refer to this very regularly, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. The best things we do are not perfect in God's sight. They are like filthy rags. Everything we have is a gift from God. The best things we have, and even that we mess up. And so we are to think as God has dealt us a measure of faith. What is the most important thing about any one of us? Color of our hair, color of our skin. Whether or not we believe in Jesus Christ, it makes the difference of eternity. God discriminates based on faith. We don't like that word anymore. It used to be a good thing to be of discriminating taste. You knew whether something was halfway decent. Well, we have a problem, certainly, with discriminating based on useless things. Brothers and sisters, God discriminates based on what we believe. If we believe lies, we're going to end up in a place we don't want to be. As Christians, then, we are to consider ourselves soberly, humbly, as God has given us a measure of faith. Remember what our Savior did. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in likeness of men, and having been found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." It was not robbery for Christ to be equal with God. He is co-eternal God. Yet he made himself of no reputation. He became man and humbled himself even beyond that, to the point of the cross. And so we ought not think of ourselves as highly, but as humble. The old idea of what would Jesus do has application here. Luke 22, 26, "But not so among you," Jesus said. "On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves." Now, where does that come from? We are to consider others better than ourselves. Philippians 2, verse 3. And that's where Paul is going here in this passage as well. And so we are to think of ourselves humbly, not highly. And we are individual members of Christ's body, members with different functions. Well, human body parts have different functions. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians. "An eye is not an ear, an ear is not a hand." Reading in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole thing were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he has pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" God gives us different gifts. And one of those gifts, brothers and sisters, by the way, is to be the person who's hurting, to the person who's in need. That's also a gift, because the body needs those too. We think gifts are those times when I got the good things. And sometimes it is. But we as a Christian church also need those who have needs. Every one of us has needs, by the way. Sometimes we overlook those things and again are thinking too highly of ourselves. But we need a nose. We need ears. And if we're missing one of those, or if we're missing a hand or missing a foot, we can't do nearly as much. And yet, we need to see how important each one of us is. That every one of us as a human being, as a Christian, is important. So also, as individual members, believers, we are parts of Christ's body, the church. And we don't all have that same function. We are all for different things. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in his church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all have speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." Notice, we are to desire the best gifts. We are to desire to do the things that are most important for the service of God's church. And we are to desire to be used, to spend time in prayer for that purpose. How can God, you use my gifts that you have given to me? And we are to be members one of another. There is one body. All true Christians are one church throughout the ages. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, just before what we just read, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members honor with it. Rejoice with it, I'm sorry. Notice, if you have a sore toe, Does the rest of the body not notice? It's just amazing, isn't it? Our bodies are sympathetic. And we as Christians are to be sympathetic to one another. If one person suffers, we are all to gather around them with the love of Christ. If one person is honored, we rejoice with them. And say, look what God has given you. Going back to what Paul says about himself. That this is the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. This is a gift that God has given for His body. And we are members of one another. The accumulated body of Christ is individuals working together as God's service, as God's church in the service of Him. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the body, the growth of the body, for the edifying of itself in love. What every joint supplies, what every piece supplies. If the hand is going one direction and the foot is going the other direction and the head is falling backwards, we're not getting much done, are we? And sadly, too often, the body of Christ is like that. And our marching orders come from our head, who is Christ. And brothers and sisters, so often we are running our own direction. If my hand's running off the wrong direction, whether it's playing sports or whether it's, you know, playing an instrument or whether it's, you know, whatever it is. If your parts of your body are doing stuff they're not supposed to, we go to the doctor, don't we? And brothers and sisters, we need to go before Christ. We need to come before God and say, Lord, I need your help so that I'm doing what you need me to doing within your church. And we get that from God's Word. We get that through the preaching of the gospel week by week. We need to be working together as God's church and using our gifts for the body. That's verses 6 through 8. The gifts of God are given in grace. We're reminded that Paul stated in humility at the beginning of this passage of the grace that God had given us, given him. As well to us, our gifts of the following gifts are from God. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it through the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom also belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is something to be humble about. Not looking down on others, but humbly using the gifts that God has given to us for service of one another, for the building up of God's church. And he starts out with prophecy. And we might say, well, what's that nowadays? And that prophecy is not telling the future. Biblically so, it is not. It's applying God's word to the world around us. Certainly sometimes in the past it was. But Scripture tells us that those gifts have ceased. In the Old Testament, the Jews referred to the books that we call the history books, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, among others, as the former prophets. Why was that? They have a very direct application of God's word to the situations of the rulers of Israel. Those who write those books have a judgment on what the king did. He did good or he did evil, and that judgment does not move. It's just phenomenal going throughout the history of Israel. God's justice does not change. And today, the closest thing we have to prophecy is done in the preaching of the Word of God, in its application to our lives and to our situations today. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As a pastor, I don't tell the future. But I'm called by God to apply what God has told us in His Word to the world around us and to our lives. Well, then he speaks of ministry. What is ministry? Now, it has a different meaning than people think as well. People think of ministry as a pastor. A pastor preaching. And that's not what the word is here. Ministry here is the word that we get deacon from in English. It means to serve. It means to attend to needs. To supply the food and the necessities of life. To use those gifts in the service of the gospel. And those with this gift ought to use it to distribute to the needs of those in the church for the furthering of the gospel. And then teaching, imparting knowledge, especially concerning the Bible and the truth. And those who have this gift ought to use and to teach the truth of the gospel. And exhortation actually means closer to preaching than we have heard so far. The calling of people to right actions, to summon, to admonish, to even beg, and to console those people with the truth. And those with this gift ought to exhort, not holding that to themselves. And the gift of giving. Some have a gift of ministry, giving and distributing. Others have the gift of giving, having been blessed by the Lord, to provide for the needs of the church, and to even give to others in need. Jesus said, Matthew 6:1-3, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Paul says that those with this gift ought to give with liberality. And then the gift of leading. Some are given the ability to be leaders in the church. And they ought to use that ability not to lord it over the church, but rather to lead among God's people, not running ahead, but instead by example, bringing people forward in the truth. 1 Timothy 5:17, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." Those who have the gift of leadership ought to use it for the church, to use it with diligence. For not, they're not leading for themselves, but for the glory of God. The gift of mercy. Some have the ability to help the afflicted, the pitiful. And this is certainly another correct office and ability in the service of God's church. God calls himself, again and again, one example, Psalm 68:5, "A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation." God cares about the fatherless. God cares about the widows. God cares about those who are homeless. God cares. And God calls us as the church to have a ministry of mercy to these people. All of this is for the glory of God. Excuse me, for the good of our fellow believers. For the extension of God's church. In the Reformation, one thing we don't think about very much is that one of the things that followed the Reformation was the building of hospitals and the building of places to help people who were in need. This happened immediately with the Reformation in Strasbourg. It happened in Geneva. And it followed the Reformation around. Because those who really get into the Bible realize that God cares about all of our needs and that he uses those needs for the opportunity of bringing the gospel and of making that gospel firm to those around us. And so we are called to use the gifts that God gives us, not just our gifts with regard perhaps to music and other things. People, as soon as I preach a sermon on that, I have a few requests. Well, can I sing? That is a gift. But brothers and sisters, these are the gifts that God lists out here for us. That we have gifts of mercy, of leadership, of giving, of exhortation, of teaching, of ministry, of prophecy. And that these gifts are gifts given to us in grace, and we are to use them. We are to use them renewed after the image of Christ. We are to use them as living sacrifices of thanksgiving for what God has done for us in saving us. And brothers and sisters, we are to use them for the building up of the body. We're not to shun the member who has a trial, who has a sore, the hand that is pained, or anything else. But we are to enfold them in Christ, in the love of what God has done for us. And we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. And brothers and sisters, we are to have a humble consideration of ourselves, considering what God has done for me, for us, in saving sinners and using the gifts that God has given us, me, for the service of God's church. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the gifts which you do give us as members one of another of the body of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we would be using our lives as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to you, as our reasonable service, serving you, serving God with those gifts which you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would seek and desire those best gifts for that service. We pray, Lord, that you would use us, whether it be in mercy, whether it be in leadership, whether it be in ministry, whether it be in teaching, whether it be in exhortation, whether it be in giving, or whether it be to preach the gospel in prophecy. Whatever gifts you have given to us, applying your word to our lives and to the lives of those around us. We pray, Lord, that we would willingly, readily use them for the service of your holy name and for the glory of Christ, our Savior. Because all that we have is a gift from you. We pray, Lord, that we would have humble consideration of ourselves and that we would follow after the pattern of Christ, who did not count equality with God to be something to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would follow then after the pathway which you have walked, to the glory and to the honor of you as our great God and as our Savior. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.